In today's video, we will be exploring and continuing to explore this one last section from Get Us Out of Here on the Occult. These last few questions are really dicey, are really powerful, and we need to know the truth. Please join me in today's video. Friends, as I always like to do, let's pray. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our shield against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Our Lady, Star of the Sea, pray for us in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, friends, I promised a long time ago that I would make this part two, and I just never did because I ended up finishing the book. But someone asked, and I've had at least a few more people ask. I'm going to start with the previous question that kind of overlaps the video on the occult, and then we're going to continue. Why would people choose to hurt others and choose to have more and more power? And she answers, Maria Sima says, it always starts with them initially being abused themselves, and then they seek more and more retribution and power over others. Both the paths to holiness and to hell are slow and steady progressions. All babies are born innocent, but not all babies are born unabused and in peace. The path to hell can often start well before the baby is born. If the parents fight, take drugs, practice the occult, watch horror movies, go to discos, or just sit in front of the television all day and night, the unborn baby receives everything they watch, hear, or participate into its subconscious and is deeply affected by it all. Currently, my wife is pregnant. The baby is due to be born in October, and this makes me think. It makes me think what I ingest with my wife, both food, water, but especially the music we hear and television, and it's something for everyone to realize. Now, what's interesting is, over the years, you can see how science has seen how much what the mother takes affects the baby. Into the future, we'll probably see even more how much what she's saying is true. There's this old saying that if there's a disconnect between science and religion, just give science some time. Soon it will find how much the Catholic faith is true. Let's listen to this next question, which is so powerful, controversial, and something that we need to think about. You say that the baby takes it all in from both parents, also from the father. Fathers, listen to this. Of course, the mother can be at home with a tiny embryo inside her, while the father can be at war in the Persian Gulf, and the baby experiences everything that he does. Wow, we really are connected. So suffering and reparation for that war has already begun at home many miles away. Then if the father sins badly, for instance, having sex outside marriage during these 9 months, the child will very easily carry a subconscious wound resulting in resistance against the other sex and then turn out homosexual. That is why so many of them honestly say that they were born this way. Their anger, pain, frustration and lack of fulfillment are reparation for the sins of their parents. Did you hear that? Let's read that again. Their anger, pain, frustration, and lack of fulfillment are reparation for the sins of their parents. Satan makes people sick, and this illness, these wounds, can only be healed with much prayer, and especially with the help of Saint Michael, who is the strongest to fight off Satan's temptations. Hence, that's why I began with his prayer at the beginning. So, if you are someone who struggles with disordered sexual desires, what should you do? Perhaps you should, instead of praying for yourself, pray for your parents. Pray for reparation for their sins. Offer masses for your ancestors. Offer masses for your parents. For their sins first, and in healing the foundation and in healing the source, you also will be healed and heard. You know, I work as a therapist and I see this so much. I really, really see the connection between grandparents, parents, and children, and how the children repeat the sins of the parents and are also affected by them. So what she is saying, she's speaking from a spiritual perspective, but she's right on every level. Biologically, DNA, psychologically, she's right, and we need to listen to her. Let's continue. Has a soul come to you that during its life had participated in a black mass? She says, that has not yet happened, but please do not presume that they are in every case lost. I myself have known people who have participated in black masses, but then left that and changed their whole lives, and so of course, they're not lost. So there's no depth from which Jesus will or cannot pull us. She says, correct. If people want to, God can always conquer Satan. It always comes down to our wish and to do good deeds, and that in the very last moments of our lives. God's mercy is huge. Now this question is really awesome. Maria, can lost souls do damage to living people? Yes, they attack people on earth and most especially their own families. Much of that is going on today. Some say hell is nearly empty now because Satan's army is running all over the world. I work, pray, and go up on pilgrimage quite often with an exorcist who has often blocked lost souls from attacking their descendants. That is one clear explanation for criminal families that certainly do exist. A lost grandfather with all the hate that he has within him will easily put his grandson into the same type of life. Only a strong exorcist can stop this chain from continuing. Jail will not stop it, and the death penalty will not either. For that matter, it probably more often than not ensures that the chain will continue. Wow, that just totally floored me. Hence, if you have a holy priest near you, pray for him and befriend him that he may help you in this matter. And if you don't, offer masses and pray much, especially the rosary, along with fasting for your family. Isn't it amazing that sometimes the best way to help yourself is to pray for the repose of the souls of your ancestors or in reparation for their sins, even if they're lost? That's an amazing thought. Which of the occult practices is the most dangerous for people to participate in? And this is an amazing answer. Freemasonry. It easily leads to divorce and finally to suicide. But then again, other involvements do too. However, the Freemasons' entire goal is to kill off the church. The poor souls have told me that our last Pope, Pope John Paul I, was murdered, and it was the Freemasons who did it. So there's theories, and now she confirms it. He was murdered by the Freemasons. And when a cardinal who held a very important position had also died, a spiritually gifted woman in Corinthia wanted to pray for him. She prayed and was blocked. She tried repeatedly but simply couldn't. One day, the same cardinal himself appeared to her in a fiery state and said, "You cannot pray for me because I am lost due to my Freemasonry, and I have popes on my conscience." Then she and her spiritual director, and it was he who came here and told me this, took this to the Vatican and again to the highest officials of the church. There, one of them who acknowledged having been at the former one's deathbed, where he had witnessed piercing screams, and said that he did not want to die like that, and went to confess to the present Holy Father. So many of you who worry and talk about all the issues in the church, now you know. It's true. There's a lot of holiness up there. There's also a lot of evil. And many of it is because of Freemasonry. Now you know how to pray. Now you know, so let's pray for all this evil that's happening. So you say that the Freemasons killed Pope John Paul II. Have other popes or other men high up in the church been murdered in recent times? She says, yes. And you believe this woman in Corinthia and her spiritual director? And she responds, with no doubt at all. Can you tell me, Maria, how in most cases you deal with Satan? And she says, when he bothers me, and usually it's with little things, I simply do this. Recently I was sitting here praying the rosary, but for some reason had to leave the room. I hung the rosary on the chair like this and went outside. When I returned only a few minutes later, it was lying here on the table instead and was hopelessly knotted up. I could not undo it, so I sternly said to Satan, listen to this, you stupid idiot, undo this rosary or I will take 10 souls away from you. In front of my eyes, the rosary loosened itself and I continued to pray on it. If anything happens that I discern as interference by him, I just command him in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord to depart, and he always does. Can you think of anything else that would strengthen our protection against evil these days? And she responds, yes, in the last decades, the exorcism prayer has been watered down, if not entirely left out of the baptismal rite. That too is a big mistake and leaves the door open for evil to affect the child more easily. This too is something where these modern times have led the priests astray. The exorcism prayer must remain there and in its entirety for full protection. If you don't know, there was this exorcism prayer in the rite of baptism where, so to speak, Satan was sealed against the different senses of the baby, like eyes, ears, mouth, chest, and it was kind of this long thing where the baby was essentially being protected on its whole, like on every angle against Satan. And now the exorcism prayer is, I don't know or remember what it is, but it's probably very weak. So go and look up the exorcism prayer ritual, the old ritual for baptism. Read about it and you'll see what I'm talking about. Also, the prayer to St. Michael that used to be prayed at the end of every Mass must be reinstated. And in our archdiocese, we've seen that in many Masses where priests will pray the prayer to St. Michael. It's awesome that they're beginning to do it. They did it because of a series of events that happened here where they saw a lot of evil and they realized we need to fight this. Praise God for that. The lack of it today also drastically weakens the people's protection when they leave the church. I beg the priest to be courageous and trusting in St. Michael and to put this prayer back for greater protection for their parishioners. So we can conclude from that even if your church does not do that, you can do that. At the end of every Mass, whether they pray it or not, pray to St. Michael the Archangel. And so let's end praying to this wonderful Prince of the Church that he be with us always. And I thank you for joining me in today's video. I'll see you in the next one. Again, we pray, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our shield and protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.